Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Especially here in the state of Kentucky, so make sure you are tuned in for them over at Kentucky HBPA. Zach, where are you? Come on, buddy. There we go. Thank you, sir. There we go. All right. Brad Cox, there you go. Go find him at Brad Cox Racing on Twitter as well for everything happening with them.
Oh, you're killing me. I step away to go do your interview, and man.
That's right, little Zachy C. Dial tone. It's not a show. It's not a show that Zach is producing unless there's a dial tone in there somewhere. So that was a great sound. Louis handled it very well, I have to say. I must say.
Zach, where are you?
Zach, where are you?
It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7 live in the Liquor Barn Studios. James Strebel, Max Godby, James Black, we have you today. It's hot outside. It's going to get hotter tomorrow. This weekend, it's going to be like 95, 96. So if your HVAC system, your air conditioning
Zach!
Unit
is...
Zach, if your air conditioning unit is doing something funny, it's not blowing out cold air, it's freezing all the time, whatever that issue may be, give BJ Heating and Cooling a call. Go to BJHeatCool.com. They've been servicing Kentuckiana families for over 40 years, and they'll get you fixed up. They have the Bryant stuff. I have that Bryant AC unit outside my home. It's been working great, and we love them around here. Go to BJHeatCool.com. 437-9680 UPS. Yes, jobs text line. All right, so Max,
Zach, where are you?
You are a financial guy. You're a financial guy. You deal a lot with finances. Well, today, the University of Louisville had a meeting about the budget. Okay,
yes.
and things look a little tough. And Eric Crawford, he was our man on the scene for that. I'm going to read this tweet here, quick, James, and then we'll get to the herd sound momentarily. But for Eric Crawford, he tweeted out the following: Louisville Athletics Association meeting thread. Let's see here. The football tickets generated $26.2 million. Men's basketball ticket sales came up $1.9 million short of budget. That's significant. ACC legal costs have cut into the money provided. ACC network studio on campus exceeded revenue projections by $400,000. This is the part that's kind of sticks here, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Max, because I think this is a pretty big deal. The university provided a contribution of $5 million to, quote, offset significant one-time cost. So they had to basically borrow money from the university. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that here in a second, because, again, I want your thoughts on this. $1.5 million over budget on travel costs. They also had the Kenny Payne buyout expense was $3.4 million. And then the assistant coaching staff, That buyout was $400,000. The final John Schnatter, Papa John payment settlement of $2 million went out. Pat Kelsey Charleston buyout was $1.1 million. And then let's see here, some other things here. Budget challenges for next season, only 6 home football games. They lost the Indiana football game that was replaced by Jacksonville State, so that was a budget loss. They're going on 6 road trips to California. That's expensive now. You got to go out there for Cal and Stanford. Evolution of NCAA rules, more family members on recruiting visits, inflation, they added that in. And then here are some of the revenue goals, which I found to be interesting as well. Sell 40,000 football season tickets, which would be a 10% increase. Sell 12,000 men's basketball tickets, season tickets. It's a 30% increase. So they're trying to capitalize on the Pat Kelsey excitement. This one made me laugh almost. Sell out 1 home football game. I'm sorry. Sell out 1 home football game. That's funny.
We have a lot of seats.
Continuing 1 men's basketball game home at 90% capacity. They're looking at Tennessee for that. The department will use $1.7 million in reserve funds to meet the budget, and the university will provide $3 million there in support as well. So, Max, as you're looking through all those bullet points, what stands out to you?
Well, for one, I want to make sure I've got this right. You know, for one, Lynn Family Stadium's, that's Lane, LNN.
Yeah, LNN Stadium. Yeah, LNN Stadium. Yes.
LNN Stadium capacity. It's only 60,000. Come on. At least 60,000.
Yeah, I mean,
Kentucky's is like 58,000. And they sell out at least 3.
Yes. Like, they even saw Akron last season.
Yes.
They saw the Akron game. And they'll sell at least, like you said, at least 3 games per season. And this season you have Auburn coming in. That should be a sellout. Let's see. Florida's on the road. I believe Tennessee's at home, so that should be a sellout. Louisville's at home. That should be a sellout. So there are some games there for Kentucky that you would view sellouts. But with Louisville with only 6 home games, I mean, that's going to be tough, especially when you have like Jacksonville State, you know, being – you know, replace
Indiana. Notre Dame. Notre Dame's
on the
away.
Road.
That's
yeah,
right.
They were,
Miami. You get Miami.
Yeah. Clemson's on the road, too. So that hurts. So, like, their biggest games, Kentucky, Clemson, Notre Dame, they're all road games. So that within itself is going to be a bit of a roadblock as well.
This offers such an intricate thing of you're able to see as a fan with all these conference realignments. Mm-hmm. Really what that means and how, because everyone thinks of TV contracts. Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
You're going to expand out the conference. That means more money in the pot. That means, you know, the schools are just going to get richer. That's not necessarily all the case, especially
right
now, the amount that you're having to invest into non-revenue sports, because with football, it's fairly easy. You're going to make up that money easy going to California.
Sure.
However, that's not the case for softball.
Field hockey.
Baseball.
Team. Baseball. Yeah.
Field hockey.
Track and field.
Exactly. It's detrimental to it. And then it also shows the impact it can be when you don't make the right hire.
Mm.
Especially back to back.
Yeah.
Because Louisville as an athletic program is one of the most, until a couple of years ago, one of the most largest net revenue programs in the country.
Yes.
It wasn't even close. The ability that university had to, one, just print money, but then, two, the way that they budgeted out the money was outstanding.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you add a Chris Mack contract buyout. Now you add a Kenny Payne buyout. Mm-hmm. Now you're essentially, and then the lawsuits and all that. It can turn so quickly on you. Can make your head turn so quickly it makes your head spin. And I understand the goals. I understand the goals completely. And this is just from the perspective of someone that's in corporate America, mm-hmm, and not in academia. The most terrifying thing, if I'm Josh Hurd, is dealing with a school board that has never gone through something like this before.
Sure. Sure.
And where it's always just been printing money.
Right.
It's easy. It's easy for, and you see it in politics today. You see it all over. It's very easy to study the economy. It's very easy to study economics and be considered an economics expert. But once you start going into the Excel sheets, you're starting to build a budget mm-hmm. and trying to budget everything out. It's amazing what happens when you're trying to stay within the black and white of a budget,
mm-hmm.
and then you allow someone that doesn't have that experience and doesn't really grasp the concept of, one, a dollar,
yeah,
but two, just the massive amounts of money that are moving simultaneously with each other. It's like saying, well, we're going to, you know, we've only got two lawsuits, and this is our net revenue. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's not bad. Well, or the two, sorry, not lawsuits,
buyouts.
But the buyouts.
Yeah.
But those buyouts accrue to about a little over $4 million.
Right.
Like, that's a massive amount of money just moving, just gone, not spread out amongst 7, 8, 9, 10 different events.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there. It's like two trips to California. Like, that's a substantial amount of money just in 1 second gone.
Now, the other thing I want to ask about is, and we're going to play Josh Hurd speaking here in just a moment, talking about borrowing $5 million from the university, and people say that's a bad thing, like borrowing money.
That's not good.
Okay, so what? Walk me through, like, what's so detrimental about having, and listeners as well, what's so detrimental from having to borrow money from the university itself?
It gets into blurred lines again, and it's kind of like what I talked about. This is an unprecedented move for University of Louisville in recent history. Mm-hmm. It's probably happened before, but in recent history, and when you're having to just post money, just give money away, the university is going to expect something in return to the athletic,
sure.
Athletic department. So, one, what does that look like? What's the contract going to look like between the university and the athletic department to agree to this?
Mm-hmm.
And especially, it's so weird because of the amount of, as well, board decisions that have to be made. It's not as simple, and we've seen it. We've seen it with the board here at Louisville, with the whole Kenny Payne and with the hiring of Pat Kelsey. You saw it with Texas A&M when Stoops was named the head coach,
right,
without board approval. It's amazing how things can get absolutely derailed when you get a lot of smart people in a room that don't really have what's a nice way of putting this?
Like the grasp or the foresight?
Grasp, foresight, or I would even say the experience to be like, hey, this is a little unprecedented, and it's I'm sure at an individual level every single one in that room is extremely intelligent,
sure,
but
yes.
When it comes to having to handle that amount of money, there's a lot of things that can go out of left field to where we're arguing, you get into a conversation, basically, if you're in an argument about, you know, who's better, Louisville or Kentucky football, and then it goes so out of left field that all of a sudden you're arguing about the Civil War.
Right. It's like, where did this come from? Yeah, like, what exactly, what are we talking about this here? And for Josh Hurd, it's going to be difficult because I'm sure he has a vision of what he thinks is going to be best for the university to start, getting back to generating the type of revenue that they were during the Tom Jurich era before all the firings and everything else happened, and trying to get people on the same page as him. And it's got to be frustrating when they think they know better than you, and you're like, hey, I'm dealing with this every day. I'm the athletic director. I know what it looks like.
This loses power for Josh Hurd also. I mean,
sure.
Not from a tenured standpoint or from a power on paper standpoint, but to be the first athletic director to say, I need money.
Yeah,
and
right.
If Vince Tyree said, this is what I needed,
mm-hmm.
he got it.
Right.
If Church said, I need this,
he definitely got it.
He got it.
Yeah.
That got the approval. Now, all of a sudden, when you go to ask for something, now there's that $2.5 million debt.
Right. $5 million debt.
Or, sorry, $5 million debt.
Yeah.
So it's a really weird situation. I like Josh Hurd.
Yeah.
I like him. I think especially for
that
what
was a lie.
I like Jeff Brohm. I like Jeff Brohm. And you know what? I feel like Pat Kelsey and I could get along also.
Really? Oh, we'll get to him in the next segment. Trust me. We're going to get to old PK here in the next segment. All right. Josh Hurd did speak to the media for 10 minutes, and it was actually pretty good sound here. So let's go ahead and hear Josh Hurd one just overall on the budget.
I feel like this is the first budget, like Nick hit on, since COVID, where we felt like we addressed a lot of the call necessities as far as just travel and operational costs. There's some presumptions there that basketball is going to do, you know, better than it's done the last couple of years. But as I say, you know, if you're not going to be an optimist in this job, then why are you doing this job? So, I think it's a realistic budget and allows our head coaches and all of our department heads, I think, to stay within the budgets that we've outlined for them. So I think we're in a good position moving into 25.
Okay, so I mean that was an interesting comment. If you're not optimistic, then why would you even do this job? I mean, you have to. Hey, even looking at all the things that we were saying with the $5 million debt and all the payouts, like you still have to be like, okay, we can get out of this. We have to get out of this. What can we do? So I thought that was an interesting comment by her. Let's hear her too as well, James, about kind of what Max was talking about, generating revenue when they were at their best.
Mystic standpoint, when this athletic department is clicking on all cylinders, it has the ability to generate the revenue that we need relative to the changes that we're going to see moving forward. But in order for us to do all of that, we have to eliminate all the things that you just mentioned. And so that's what we're trying really, really hard to do. And, you know, I feel like the light's at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, but such is life. You know, there's probably going to be something that pops up somewhere. But, right now, today, I feel like we can see some really positive things happening. And we just have to make sure that we eliminate or significantly reduce any of those things that impact us on, you know, on the expense side.
Okay, so there you go. Light at the end of the tunnel, Max. I think this is an important statement from Josh Hurd. Like, it might be dark right now, but they can see a way out of this, continuing that optimist personality that he has to have right now.
And you have to. And like I said, this is not a make-or-break thing for University of Louisville. It's good that it's being addressed now. Mm-hmm. I think this is a budget probably that is more appealing than how it looked last year.
Oh, 1,000%.
And to be able to finally just be able to come out and be like, you know what, this is where we are, this is where we're going. And that's the thing. You have at least goals put into place.
Yes.
Of this is where we need to be. This is the processes that we need to do to get there. And then you feel confident about the days ahead.
And then this is why Pat Kelsey has to work out. I mean, he has to work out. Not only does he have to work out in a standpoint from getting people back in the Yum, generating money that way. I mean, when you have 5,000 fans in a stadium that holds 20,000, the amount of money we saw, they were under budget by $1.9 million for the basketball program. So you need to work out from that aspect, and you also need him to work out from the aspect of they can't afford to pay any more people to go away.
Right.
You're stuck
at that point.
You're stuck. And that's the thing. If he stinks and he's not good, this won't be a situation where it's going to be 2 years and you're fired like Kenny Payne. Like, they're going to have to hang on to him probably. Maybe if he's not very good, I'm not making the prediction he won't be good. I'm just putting forth the scenario. Like, if he's not good.
That's with any coach.
It's not just Pat Kelsey. Mark Pope. I mean, if it didn't work out, I mean, they had to pay him to go away. They're lucky to the fact that John Calipari did the damn thing and just left, kind of like Scott Satterfield. They didn't pay him a dime.
Yeah.
But Louisville, unfortunately, with Chris Mack and with Bobby Petrino, but his money's already been paid, but especially with Chris Mack and Kenny Payne and their staffs. That's
another thing as well. When was Bobby Petrino's money finally gone?
I think last year they made the final payments.
That's probably why you didn't see the budget last year also.
Exactly.
Well, no, Kenny Payne was still here.
Yeah.
But there was also probably plans of like, okay, we need to brace for this.
Yo, sure. Absolutely. With Kenny Payne.
But it makes sense now of when when you have fans, not Louisville fans or Kentucky fans, but when you have fans at all over that are just like, just get rid of them. Get a booster to go and just get rid of them.
That's difficult to do.
It's very difficult to do.
It's very difficult to do.
It's one thing. It was, I never had the perspective of this before, but it's like, because, you know, I don't have just, you know, $17 million.
Laying around, just a throwaway willy-nilly, yeah.
Just to get rid of Gus Malzahn from Auburn. Like, let me just write this check.
Yeah,
here.
Or Jimbo Fisher for $70 million or whatever it was. Yeah.
$75 million
just to go away. I mean, that's insane. I mean, they paid Kenny Payne a fraction of that to go away. Let's hear some more here. Now, he did touch on Dan McDonnell, James, and I think that's an interesting sound, too. Heard number 7 on Dan McDonnell and his situation with Louisville.
In relation to one of the items that was previously approved, but we haven't talked to you since the end of the baseball season, have you and Dan had any conversations about what he expects moving forward and what you expect?
Oh, yeah. I think I talk to head coaches pretty regularly, and Dan and I, we had conversations, you know, right up through the end of the season, and you know, look, Dan's highly competitive, and that's why he's been to 5 College World Series, and that's why he's one of the best baseball coaches in the country, and you know, I think it was really a matter of circumstance where a building gets, you know, essentially, hey, we're going to do this. You know, COVID hits, and I mean, everything just gets blown up, absolutely blown up. And so, don't want to totally take that off the table, but we're going to look for, you know, we did the locker room, and then I think we're going to try to do something on a little bit smaller scale, maybe in right field, you know, if we get the donor support there. I feel like Dan and I are, you know, we've had good conversations, and I'm excited about the future of the baseball program. And, you know, you look at some of the transfers that he's got coming in, you know, it's, I think our baseball program's in good shape right now.
Okay, so another optimistic view on Dan McDonnell and you know, not doing the entire stadium, but maybe starting at a smaller scale until things are worked back up. I mean, that had to be a tough conversation for Josh Hurd. Like, hey, Dan, I know you want this, that, and the other, but like, we're dealing with with issues monetarily as an entire athletic department, not just baseball. This is something that we're all going through, we're all dealing with right now. Got to tighten that belt loop one more time. All right, let's do the last one here, Jay. James Hurd, 8 on the ACC, because as we've read through Eric Crawford's detailed notes on the budget, everything, the ACC actually cost them some money in some instances. So let's go ahead and play what Josh Hurd has to say about the ACC and the viability of the conference going forward.
I'm not in the middle of any of that, and leave that up to the conference to have, obviously, those conversations and try to figure that out. But I want a strong, healthy ACC. I think that's what's best for the University of Louisville, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that happens. Do I think that Florida State and Clemson doing what they've done has impacted the ACC? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it's impacted the ACC, and I don't like to see that. I don't want to see that. I think we've got a fabulous brand. I think we've got a fabulous conference. When you look at the revenue that's been being generated from the ACC, you know, it's the third best out of the Power Four now. You can sit here and say you want to be 1-2. Absolutely, you want to be 1 or 2. But the ACC is in a very strong position. And, you know, agreements were made, and I would hope that we would all live up to those agreements. And, you know, that's what we're going to do, and excited about the future of the ACC.
All right, so there you go. I mean, that's...
Let's just be honest.
Go ahead.
Everyone knows. Like, everyone knows what's going to happen. The ACC and the Big 12 are going to get eaten by the SEC and the Big 10. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's going to happen, but it just was sad. We're the third out of the Power Four conferences in terms of revenue. And it's like,
could be worse.
Could be fourth.
You could have been the fifth one that got completely.
Yeah. Or the big, I guess I'm assuming Big Ten 1, SEC 2, and they're right there neck and neck. Then the ACC, and then I guess Big 12 is fourth right now as far as that's concerned. So now some interesting things there.
Big 12 is trying to get all state to sponsor their conference, so that kind of lets you know who's in fourth place.
Yes, and well, I don't know if you yesterday we talked about it, but basically, if the ACC does implode, if Florida State and Clemson are able to figure out how to get out of that grant of rights and then teams start bolting, that Louisville has an open door policy to go to the Big 12. Like the Big 12 basically said, like, if you all don't want to stay in the ACC and that conference starts to disintegrate, open door, come on in.
I think.
You know, I believe Josh wants us to be good. He wants.
Thank you, James. That made me happy. I believe Josh wants us to be good.
I think it would be great for the rivalry to have Louisville try to jump into the SEC. I think from a geographical standpoint, it makes the most sense.
It honestly does make the most sense for them to be in the SEC over the Big 12, but I don't know if they'd ever.
It doesn't matter. Just look at the money.
Like, yeah.
At that point, that's the most alluring thing of this.
Sure.
And you have an in. You have an in with Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's your enemy. But
would Mitch Barnhart allow that, though? Do you think that Mitch Barnhart would – you know him better than I do. And I'm not saying, like, you know him on a one-on-one basis, but you've spoken to the man. You've been in his office. You've had discussions with him. Does he hold that type of grudge, do you think, you know, against Louisville where he wouldn't allow them in the – or he tried to block it try to dissuade Greg Sankey or whomever from bringing them in?
Well, here's the thing. It would be – that was back when it was 12 teams expanding to 14 teams. Mm-hmm. This is a completely different world now. And the name of the game is what geographically makes sense. Because that's at least the SEC's advantage over the Big Ten. Geographically.
Yeah, everything makes sense in the SEC still.
Even with Texas and Oklahoma, it makes more sense than USC and UCLA.
Right. And Washington and Oregon. Exactly. And I mean, Rutgers and Oregon, you couldn't be, you know, more further apart.
Anna Torello and I, when you were out a few weeks ago, we looked through the Friday night games for Fox for Big Ten football. And it was just the weirdest thing because it was like Rutgers versus Oregon, Washington versus Purdue. It was just like, this is the weirdest.
And it's setup. Like when you throw teams in there like that, it's hard to just go ahead and manufacture a passion to beat them. You know what I mean? What is the now? Texas A&M and Texas obviously have the incentive of they've been rivals forever,
exactly,
and that's still fresh. They're still going to hate each other no matter what. But you know, with when it's like Oklahoma versus South Carolina. You know, when South, you know, Oklahoma's a brand new member, or like you're trying to generate, you know, Illinois versus Oregon or whatever. Like, okay, like, what do we know about these teams?
Well, think about when Missouri and Texas A&M came to the SEC.
Yeah.
And that first year, the first game was A&M in Florida. And it was just weird.
Yeah.
Everyone watched it, but it was weird to watch. Or when Missouri played Kentucky, that was just a weird game.
And now they generated like a rivalry against each other.
Exactly.
Now Kentucky and Missouri view themselves as rivals. And especially with, even though Mark Stoops and Eli Drinkwitz are beach buddies, as Stoops likes to say, or Drink likes to say, whichever
Drinkwitz
one.
Drinkwitz says they're the best of friends.
They're the best of friends. Yeah, Drinkwitz says they're the best. And Stoops did pick Drinkwitz's brain during the season for offensive reasons, which I know that made you not happy.
Well, I mean, but if they ran Missouri's offense, like, it's fine. He may be a dork, but his offense was fire.
His offense was fire this past season. It's supposed to be fire again. So this interesting stuff from Josh Hearn, the budgetary perspective coming from there. All right, let's read some text here before we take our next break. Texter, makes no sense to bring U of L into the SEC. You don't gain a single TV viewer. Texter, the Big Ten now has the entire West Coast buying their network. I mean, that's geographically it doesn't make sense, but that text is right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why they did it. Everybody in the West Coast is going now. If you want to watch USC, you got to buy the Big Ten package.
Exactly,
and that was the goal, and that's what they wanted. Texter, at some point, ADs and athletic departments are going to have to take a real look closely at dissolving many of their non-revenue programs. The cost alone for the Louisville teams to make the trips to the West Coast is a further burden on the budget. Do you think that is something that is realistic?
It's 100% going to happen. It's 100%. You're going to see non-revenue sports get dissolved. And because of Title IX, it's not going to be one sport. It's going to be two.
Yeah.
Each time. Because I've said it before. They're paired. Football with volleyball. Men's basketball with women's basketball. Baseball with softball. If you take out one, you got to take out the other as well.
Yeah.
And it's, again, this could have all been prevented. It could have all been prevented.
Yeah.
But because of selfishness, because of the complete ineptness and the stupidity of everyone, the NCAA, there's now kids that had the dreams and aspirations of playing college and playing high-level college athletics at these Power Four schools that are now possibly not going to have the chance. Because it's – and again, it's not just going to affect football. It's not just – or the non-revenue sports. When you talk about mid-majors – and especially the FCS level.
Oh, yeah, man.
Football programs are not safe. Because, again, what Louisville is going through currently with as an athletic department, that's the norm outside of the top 60, 70 athletic departments in the country that cost money. Now, all of a sudden, you're having to build in a budget for your football program, for your student athletes to get paid at the FCS level. It's like, we can't afford to do that.
Yeah. When does it stop? When does it stop?
It's never going to stop. It's going to stop when no one else. This is true. So the NIL was actually somewhat of an equalizer.
Yeah.
At least everyone now had to put all the money on over the table instead of under the table.
Yeah.
The difference now is, now you've mandated schools that they have to pay student athletes. Again, I'm for paying student athletes 100%. I'm going to make sure I get my money from the lawsuit of House versus NCAA.
Sure.
100%. But now that you've mandated someone to, now they have to pay out of their own, the school has to pay out of their own pocket. Oh, you heard Ohio State the other day.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
We got the money.
They're the only I was talking about that with Zach yesterday at the end of the show. They're the only institution, the only athletic department so far that has come out and said, yeah, we're fine. This is fine. We've got the money. No one else is saying that.
No.
And which is kind of shocking to me, because I figured Michigan would be right there for Texas for sure. Oh, Texas for sure would be out
they'll
there
be
being
fine.
Like, they'll be fine. Alabama will probably be fine.
All the SEC schools besides Vandy will be fine. All the Big Ten schools, for the most part, probably mid-level up,
will be fine. Yeah.
It's going to be the mid-majors, all that. It's going to dissolve them.
Yeah.
And it's going to take those programs back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, man. We can keep going on. This is an interesting discussion, but we need to take a break. On the other end, Pat Kelsey has a shoe fetish, and are the Baja Bullies back? We'll talk about that more here on the Roundtable. Sonatrol of Louisville, that's the number one rated security company, not in Louisville, but in the entire state of Kentucky. How do I know that? 350 five-star reviews on Google and counting. That's right. More and more come in every day. Locally owned and family operated for over 35 years. They're the best company to tailor your business or your home to your security needs. Whatever you want them to do, they will do it for you. And then if your system breaks down, or you want an upgrade, or there's a small issue, they'll come out to your home or business and they'll fix that for you, because that's what their customer service is about. It's about helping you, and you don't talk to, you know, a bot or an AI device. You talk to somebody at Sonatrol. 502-966-8999. If you want to talk to them right now, that's the phone number, or go to sonatrolky.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Who's your favorite Avenger?
I don't have a favorite Avenger.
Whoa.
I was hoping he'd say Black Panther.
No, Juneteenth was yesterday.
Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Oh, man. James, the smile on James's face right now is classic. It's priceless is what it is. All right, it's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 1057. James Strebel, Max Gobby, James Black doing a hell of a job for us today. Thank you again, James, for cutting that Josh Hurd sound. It was some good stuff there. It was a good conversation. Max, that said, during the break, we could have gone an entire hour that discussion.
Zach, where are you?
I'm dropping it in also. I'm sorry.
No, you can do all you want. It's fantastic. Hey, want to say thanks to Bear Nose Pizza for dropping some lunch by the studio today. Serving Louisville-style pizza since 1977. 13 area locations. Besides award-winning pizza, they serve pasta, sandwiches, salads, apps including chicken wings, dine-in, carry-out, delivery, and order online at bearnose.com. Bear Nose Pizza, yeah, it's that good. So there we go. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. All right, so Max, here I am being hating Ash Strebel again, but I have to do it. I have to do it. All right, so Pat Kelsey was on with Bob Valvano earlier this week, Max, and he has this thing where it drives him crazy when players' shoes come off on the court. Okay, and I don't know what it is, but he's like, I'll take that stinking shoe and I'll throw it in the rafters. I'll throw the shoe. I'll get rid of the shoe if your shoe comes off during practice. Ah! And so last night, the Louisville men's basketball account tweeted out, and I don't know why you would tweet this out. Like tweet like cool things, like fun things, like good things. And of course, Louisville fans are peeing their pants over this video, and it's the corniest thing. It says at Pat Kelsey has officially put the 24-25 squad on notice with a shoe emoji and a laughing crying face. Okay, and so what happened was one of their players. I'm not sure who all these guys are yet. Just like I'm not completely sure who all the guys for Kentucky are because it's like completely new teams. But one of the players' shoes comes off in the middle of practice, and Pat Kelsey like sprints over and like has to wrestle the shoe away from the player, and the player was kind of like holding on to it, like, what are you doing? Like, this is my shoe, bro. Why are you trying to grab my shoe? And then Pat Kelsey goes on and makes a scene like, if that happens again, I'm going to take your shoe and I'm going to run outside. I'm going to throw your shoe outside. I hate it when shoes come up. Like, even had, I think, I don't know who that is, but they had to like stop the other player from like running at Pat Kelsey to get his shoe back. It's just like, can this guy just stop? Can he just stop for 5 minutes and be normal? Like, just be a normal guy. It's like, you don't always have to be on 10 all the time. And that's rich coming from me as Jonathan Linder was intimidated by my excitement yesterday. But the state is like, can't you not just be weird? Like, how would you feel if your shoe came off? If your shoe came off at practice and Mark Stoops sprints over, grabs your cleat, takes it, and throws it away. Like, your shoe shouldn't come off during practice, and throws your shoe. How would the team react to that?
Well, first of all, Stoops wouldn't run.
Well, that's fair enough. He would not run.
If Stoops has gotten my shoe,
he'd waddle over.
I'm like dead on the ground if he's able to get my shoe.
Right.
Secondly, that was without doubt the most bizarre video I've ever seen.
Why would you highlight that?
Because he's edgy.
I don't. But like
of all the things
to lose your mind over, a shoe coming off in practice
I never thought in the cringe wars. Once to see who's cringier.
It's an arms race.
Mark Pope or Pat Kelsey. That Mark Pope would post a W at his practice, talking like a teacher.
Yeah, it's he did. He sounded like me.
We're gonna talk about the offensive words that I use. You know these, but these are my words.
You're right.
Okay. Little cringe.
That's a great point by you. You're right.
That's going to be hard to beat. And then Pat Kelsey was, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
And ran in like the little leprechaun he is. to grab this shoe that was
from a 6'8" basketball player
to grab this shoe that was twice his size and deadlift it and clean and jerk it over his head.
Well, notice the player got the shoe back before he could throw it. Yeah. There's a cut in the video. It's really funny because he has the shoe. Pat Kelsey has the shoe, and I think his intentions were to throw the shoe. But if you notice, it cuts quickly, and then all of a sudden he doesn't have the shoe anymore. And the player was like, "No, bro, like you're not taking my shoe." And this ain't called to Charleston anymore. You could go grab Rain Smith's shoe and throw it all you want. These dudes aren't going to be like, "Yeah, you can go ahead and throw my shoe." That's not going to happen. And that's one of the first things I noticed. Like Pat Kelsey ends up, again, there's a jump cut, so I'm watching it now. Chucky Hepburn's driving. He passes it to some white guy. all right, then the player's his shoe comes off. All right, so we're about 21 seconds at Pat Kelsey. He runs in. He grabs the shoe. He's like, I'm gonna take the shoe here. And then it cuts to 14 seconds. He no longer has the shoe. But he continues to, I'm going to throw. Next time, I'm throwing it. Next time, there won't be a next time. You ever hear that? Your dad or mom ever tell you that? Next time, there won't be a next time. This is what Pat Kelsey said. Next time, there won't be a next time. I'm going to throw that shoe, and you're going to have to go get it. Like, I can't wait. The next time that happens, and he tries to throw a player's shoe, please video that and put that on Twitter, too. Because I want to see the other reactions of the other dudes. Like, this is Louisville, bro. This ain't Patty Cake, Mickey Mouse time. But we're peeing our pants over a shoe coming off. Like, this is big boy basketball. Pat Kelsey doesn't understand the assignment, as Mark Pope says. How about that?
It's still just beyond. Yeah, I mean,
it's weird.
See, here's the thing. Like, the shoe thing is weird, but the first thing that just caught my eye is just how little he is.
He's tiny, man.
Just little.
He's a little guy.
Mark Pope's going to eat him like an ogre.
Like, I can't wait for that first picture of Mark Pope and Pat Kelsey. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be like Pat Kelsey's going to be looking up on me. I'm going to beat your A. Mark Pope's like, okay, little guy. I see you on court. Pat, pat on head. Bye-bye now. Pope got a coach. Now, other news in Louisville basketball. So they're going to go to the Bahamas not once but twice now. So they're already scheduled to go to the Bahamas for the Battle for Atlantis, kind of like that non-con tournament. That's a big tournament, too. It's a good tournament, usually a really good tournament. So they're going to be going to that. But before that, from July 28th through August 2nd, the Louisville men's basketball team, they're going to the Bahamas during those few weeks. They're going to play games on July 30th through August 1st, or July 30th and August 1st. They're going to sell those tickets starting next week. It has a VIP package and everything else. Blankenbaker's already scheming on how to get out there, but all jokes aside, I mean that's a good thing for Louisville to be able to go and take the players and get them playing together in July and August in a game atmosphere. And I know they're going to be playing bellhops, and I know they're going to be playing, you know, guys way past their prime. It's not like they're going to be playing the cream of the crop talent, but it'll at least give you a working idea of what you have and how these guys play together. So in all, it's a really, really good benefit for Pat Kelsey and his team to take those few days and get some team basketball work against somebody other than themselves.
100% it will be, and I think you need that, especially it. What you need to do is just be able to continue to build confidence going into the season, especially yes. Going into the Bluegrass rivalry with Kentucky. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I wish Kentucky did their Canada trip last year. I really wish Mark Pope, because you can only take so many in an amount of time. Now, the one that Kentucky went to for Canada was a little bit different because it was a part of like the global games or whatever it was. So it doesn't really count because they went to the Bahamas a few years ago with Oscar Tshiebwe, his second year there. But I really wish Mark Pope was able to take advantage of one of these trips, because I think it would benefit him as much as it would benefit Pat Kelsey. But, you know, Louisville fans, look, they've got something now, kind of like we did at the end of summer before football really kicks into high gear. Something to watch, something to look forward to, and something to go to. I just, I, I, I want to know who from the station is going. I mean, Blanketmaker's already trying to go. Is Diener going to go? Rummage, are you up out there, buddy? You going to go to the Bahamas? I mean, who all from the studio is going to be able to make this trip? And then who's going to make the trip to the Battle for Atlanta? So that'll be fun. That'll be a good way to end the summer. All right, 437-9680. Let's get through some texts before we take a break. Texter, maybe someone can back me up, but apparently these young players like to wear their shoes loosely. I can sing it annoying to PK. PK may be small, but he carries a big stick, and the name of the stick is Pope. I think that's from Tox. I believe that's from Tox.
I'm disappointed in that. That was a lazy text.
Whoa!
That was a lazy text.
Wow! Lazy text.
I expected more.
They expect more from Tox.
That dude is able to hit dingers.
He does hit dingers. That was a foul ball. Or was it an out?
I think that was a foul ball caught.
Wow. Foul pop up to the catcher?
Yep.
Pop up foul ball to the catcher. Wow. So. Like, how about that?
I'm like, come on, Tox.
Tox usually brings the heat. I agree.
A big stick and it's called Pope. It's like, come on.
Maybe
man.
He's like a big dipstick.
See, that would have been
that
funny.
That would have been funny. Dipstick.
That would have been funny.
There we go. I'll pretend you said dipstick, Tox.
Tox, thank you. Because usually the text is what I look forward to when Tox texts in.
He's the number one texter.
Yeah. And you know what? He kind of just melted in today.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed.
It is Friday.
It better be a much better text for Monday.
Yeah, there we go. He'll take the weekend. He'll get his feet back under him. He'll get his energy
back. I love
back.
You, Tox.
Yes. Texter. Kelsey next to Pope will look like the picture of Lightsey with you guys. That's not nice.
I mean, kind of.
Kind of. Again, J.J. Weaver's going to make anybody look small anyway. I mean, this is, and you and I are
here's
big
the
guys,
difference.
Too.
Here's the difference. I'm 6'3", not 3'2".
Right. That's the
Pat
difference.
Kelsey is 100% 3'2".
He's 3'2". Texture. Trip gets Louisville 10 days of practice, way more than 2 hours a week of on-court they are allowed during the summer. Oh, no, it's a perfectly good thing for them. Texture, did KP throw Caron Davis's shoe? No, he threw Tyler Johnson's tights is what he did.
No, he went and got his tights.
He did. Tox says he apologizes to Gooby Fett.
Apology accepted.
Texture, screw Tox. I'm the best texture. PK out there working fools. Texture, Pat Kelsey the shoe gremlin. He'll come.
He looked like a little gremlin.
He'll come steal your shoes at night.
Have you ever seen during a football game where after the kickoff happens and you have that one really unathletic equipment manager that darts out on the field to get the tee from the middle of the field and runs back?
Yes. Yes.
That's what PK looked
yes,
like.
Yes, it does. Or a bat boy. Like the bat boy at like, you know what I mean?
No, because the Bat Boy's more of like a jog. Like those guys that go get the tee.
They sprint.
Like, they sprint.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Who's the guy for Clemson? Big Red. Remember that guy with the big red beard?
And he was the ball boy.
Yes.
So he ran down the sideline. I'm talking about the dude that runs in the center field, grabs the tee. Half the time they fall down.
They do.
And run it back in.
You saw that firsthand many times. Texter, imagine calling a guy who played basketball in college a little guy. Just because you all are fat giants doesn't make someone small. LOL. This is a Louisville station, bum. Actually, 93.9 is the Louisville station. We can say whatever we want on this one.
Exactly.
We're good to go here, but I like... Just because you play basketball doesn't mean you're tall. Spud Webb and Muggsy Bogues say hello.
Hold on.
I mean, come on. I mean, what are we doing here? Sorry. And Max isn't fat. I'm the only fat one. Max is just tall.
Former fat.
He's formerly fat. He eats a lot better than I do. I get those late night jalapeno kettle chip cravings that I have to satisfy.
All right, so there's a conspiracy going on here.
Okay. Now you have my attention.
Because, you know, naturally you should be able to just... First of all, he's 49.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good for his age. I'll give him that. He looks like he's in his 30s.
Well, he gets better blood circulation because he's 2'1".
When you started making a blood joke, I thought you were going on a way to a way
different tangent. Oh, come on. You know me.
I know
a lot better than that.
I do, but I...
But if you typically type in... So if I typed in Mark Pope height...
Yes.
Onto Google.
That's 6'10".
6'10".
Yeah.
Right there. Prominent, right? That's what
right
Google
there.
Does.
Six foot ten. Yes.
6'10". Now, if I type in... Pat Kelsey height.
So this is a on-air science experiment that we're doing right now.
Nothing.
Whoa! Nothing. This is a conspiracy theory.
Louisville fans are so self-conscious.
They scrubbed the internet.
Blanketbaker
did it.
Hold on. Per sports-reference, Pat Kelsey is 5'9". He's basically the height of a praying mantis.
Of a praying mantis.
Have you ever seen those memes of like dudes that are shorter than 5'10" when there's a spider in their house and it's the scene of Samwise Gamgee fighting Sheila?
Oh yes, and he's trying to fight him with the dagger. Now here's the like, okay, Pat Kelsey's not 5'9". He's not. I'm sorry. I know that's what the internet says. The internet lies all the time.
The program for me said 6'5".
Yeah, so exactly. Like, but there you go. See, you guys did a little bump on the program. I think that's going on.
I was 3'10" in the program.
All right, let's take a break on the other end. Brian, the intern, wrote a good article about Mark Stoops. We'll get that going as well here on the roundtable. Just want to remind you of our friends at 502 Hemp at 812 Hemp. If you're looking for those summer drinks to make you feel good, you don't want to feel the after effects of alcohol, the dehydration, the hangovers and all that stuff, go check out their hemp drinks, and they're really good. They're tasty, they're affordable. They have lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight. They even have powders that you can put into your lemonade or your tea or your drink, whatever you're doing. Not your alcoholic drink. Don't do that. But a nice summer cool drink. You'll still be social and be having fun out there as well. 502 Hemp is located in the Douglas Hills location. And then 812 Hemp, located over by me off the Lewis and Clark Parkway in Clarksville, Indiana. Go check them out on 502hemp.com.